Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm happy to have Heather Lean as my guest today. Join us for a conversation about her book, Angel Grandma, and how love can live forever. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you, Margot. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I am so excited to talk to you about this beautiful book that you have created. I just love it. I think it's beautiful, and I think it's just so important that children and all of the rest of us realize that the people we lose become angels and that they can still be in our life, you know. So I think it's just a beautiful thing that you've done this. And I also love the beautiful angel doll that you sent as well. It's just,
Thank you.
It's sitting here on my desk looking so beautiful. With my mom, who first got me started on angels back in 2006, the last time I ever saw her, I went up for a weekend and spent a beautiful weekend with her. My other siblings weren't there, and we had a wonderful time. I had no idea it was going to be my last time seeing her, and she gave me one, just before I left, this little crystal angel. And it said, an angel to guide you and to guard you or watch over you or something, you know, and it's like this treasured thing. I'm getting goosebumps as I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, it just, you know, I started getting curious about angels because of her. And then a year, exactly a year after she passed away, I found these little angel beanie baby bears and got a whole bunch of them and gave them to everyone. And I call mine Mama Angel.
So sweet.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I just think it's just such a wonderful thing to be able to feel the people that you love still with you. And I want to hear about your experience with it and how you got started in writing this book and creating it and what inspired you to do it.
Yeah, well, I actually, I kind of laughed because Angel Grandma is not the first book that I've written. But it was always, you know, obviously I lost my mother, and that's what kind of sparked this whole new path for me. I lost my mother-in-law a year before I lost my mom, and I lost my mom in 2019. And you know, I was pregnant with my little one, who's now he's 2.5. I was pregnant with him when I lost my mother-in-law. So we named him after her. And then my mom was sick with Alzheimer's for 9 years. So you know, we always knew this was gonna come to be, but you know, as much as you prepare yourself for it, you just never really prepare to lose, you know, your mother, the person who brought you into this world. So I really kind of, you know, when that happened, and when we lost her, you know, she was in hospice, and I had to, you know, rush down with my brother. She, you know, she got to the point where she couldn't even eat anymore. And so, you know, we went down, and I was just in this mad rush. Like, I got to get there in time. I got to see her. And it's like, you know, you feel like time is like, you're like in this vacuum. Like, you know, I just want to get there in time to see her. Like, God forbid I don't get there in time. And I just kept saying to myself, I just got to get there in time. And, you know, we went to go see her. And it's very hard to see someone you love in that much pain. So as much as, like, I wanted her to stay, you know, I knew, and I always knew in my heart, like, I wasn't really brought up very religious, but I always knew there was something more to this. And this really kind of, you know, people come to that point in their life where they start either questioning things or they're searching for something because they are in so much pain. And losing my mom, it put me in that place. You know, I had two small children. I mean, they're still small, you know, but at the time they were even babies, you know, and I didn't give myself time to grieve. I mean, grieving is such a process, but I went back to work right away because, you know, that's what I did. I didn't really have time to take off and I didn't even think about it. And I like caught myself crying in the copier room, like, and people just tell me, Heather, you need to take time for yourself. You know, I had gotten run down, I had gotten sick, and you don't realize that as a mom, you just put everybody above yourself. Like, that's just, it's just naturally how things kind of took their course. And then I got to the point where I was just so depressed. I'm like, I can't go on like this anymore. And so I was like looking and searching, and the first thing in the sequential order, how things happened, I came across like a Joe Dispenza meditation. And, you know, I really wasn't into the whole spiritual thing, you know, that much. I believed in it, but I didn't like get really into it. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw, you know, a meditation of his, you know, he kind of explained the science behind it and how to clear your mind of all the negativity and all the stress and all the worry. And I was like, look, I'll just give it a try. And that one meditation just changed the course of everything. I don't even know how to describe it. I met people, doors opened, how I got to write books. This is, it's such a funny story, because I had come in contact with an organization or a charity, a children's orphanage in Africa. And they had sent me a message, and, you know, and I just resonated with that, because it was like, here's these young kids, you know, as young as 2, 7, 8, with no parents. And I'm 38 and I lost my mom, but, you know, I had my mom my whole life growing up until she got sick. And then I saw their pictures, and they're happy, and they're, you know, and they're laughing, and they're playing with, and I'm like, wow, this is, how are they happy? You know, they lost everything, and they're just, I couldn't even understand. And so I sent them, it just really hit home for me. I sent them some money, and, you know, people were like, oh, you don't know who this is. I'm like, you know what? I'm sending from my heart. And if it's a reputable organization or whatever, like even reputable ones too, like a lot of it goes to like CEOs and it doesn't go to the charity, but this was going to the kids. And so I got this message back from them, and I opened it up, and I was just hysterical crying. It was like, we love you. We're sending you love. May God bless you. And it was that moment where I was like, oh my God, I got to do something more for these kids. So, you know, I'm driving, you know, I drive a lot. I'm a lawyer by day. So I'm driving to court. I'm thinking, and an idea popped in my head. I'm like, what if I write a book and I just give some, you know, I can donate a portion of the proceeds to this charity and to other charities helping children. And how great would that be? And I was thinking about that. And that was the first thought that I had. I wrote like a little book about, you know, our story. And then things kind of just like opens up from there. Like I was finding out about publishing, and I didn't know the first thing about writing a book. And then I wrote like two other books. And then I came to the point where, you know, I wanted to write something about my mom. I knew I wanted to write something about it, but that in itself is like a whole healing process, you know, like putting that down on paper and my feelings about losing my mom and trying to explain that to my kids. I mean, it was just like, it was therapy in and of itself. Like, I wasn't ready for it. I kept putting it off. And so when I finally sat down, you know, it all just kind of came out, and I showed it to my husband, and he's like, wow, it's going to be a beautiful book. So that's where the idea came from. And it was really just kind of like an explanation. Like, it was a healing process at first, and then to explain to my kids, you know, grandmas are still here, because I felt so much pity for them. You know, they're never going to have, you know, the memories they will have of their grandmas will be what we tell them, stories and pictures from when they were very young. But I was so fortunate to have grown up with my grandma's, my mom's mom is still alive. She's 99 years old.
Wow.
You know, she doesn't know that she has, you know, obviously, you know, less faculties, and she wouldn't remember. And we, you know, so she doesn't know about my mom, but she's 99, and her daughter, my mom passed away at 67. So, you know, I was so lucky. I grew up with my grandma. And so I was, you know, when I thought to myself, how do I explain to my kids? It hurts me so bad, because they see all the other kids with grandmas, and they don't have any grandma. And, you know, that's where it came from. I wanted to help other children. And I actually, my sister-in-law lost her mom. My cousin lost her mom. My cousin-in-law lost her mom. And I have friends that lost their, you know, moms, mother-in-laws, and they all have young kids. And I've seen a few books about it, but nothing where it's just like very positive, like I'm always with you, like that kind of thing. Because I believe that. I'm not trying to tell my daughter something I don't believe in. I do mm-hmm. believe, and I have felt my mom's presence even guiding me on this path, which I, you know, I mean, I'm a lawyer. Like, I don't know the first thing about writing children's books, you know? So just this whole thing that has opened up to me, it's like being willing to open myself up and to receive, you know, these little messages and just little synchronicities. And it's just been, life has been incredibly different, and it's been amazing, and it's been beautiful. And, you know, there's pain and there's sorrow, and I'm still missing my mom, but I mm-hmm. know now, was before I thought I felt some, you know, like I thought there was something after this, you know,
mm-hmm.
physical world, but I didn't feel it. And now I do. And, you know, I mean, everyone can think whatever, feel whatever they want. We're all entitled to believe whatever we want, but I do believe this. And I think people resonate with it because they somehow on some level believe it too. You know, whether you're religious or you're spiritual, or you don't really believe in any kind of organized thing, but you believe there's some energy, or it's all the same connection. You know, this is not it. And that's kind
well,
of what
you know,
I'm trying to explain.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. And I've never been religious myself either. In fact, I kind of got it forced on me a little bit by my dad when I was 16, and I didn't want to do that. So I actually went the opposite direction for a while. And it was personal development books and audios that got me going in the direction of learning about it, starting out with Wayne Dyer and Earl mm-hmm. Nightingale and Napoleon Hill and so on and so forth. And then, Wayne started going in more in the direction of the spiritual, but it was not religious, you know, religion mm-hmm. being that it says mine's right and yours is wrong, as he was saying, you know. And so I totally get what you're saying, and I'm so thankful that I had already been kind of learning these things and then started going to the I Can Do It conferences with Louise Hay when my mom had gotten cancer originally to help try and find ways to help her heal, and it did. She healed from her cancer, but then her heart was really weak, and that's why she passed away super suddenly in October 25th of 2006. And the last time I saw her was just the most beautiful time, and she had given me the little crystal angel. And I just, you know, I luckily, because of going to the I Can Do It, I'd been to a workshop with Abraham Hicks all day, and I remember this woman sitting next to me, I'll still always remember her saying that she really loved Wayne Dyer's teachings and that she thought that this was so cool. And then I realized later that they were some of the teachers that had taught him. And so I know what you're saying. And Joe Dispenza and some of the other ones that bring the science, that's one of the things that Wayne Dyer did that was really cool, was bring the science of it into it too. So it wasn't just about something that people would think of as a fantasy. But I realized that the only way I could feel my mom with me would be if I was feeling joy and love and being in my present moment and feeling gratitude. And when I would do that, I could feel her with me. And I've been able to the whole time since then, except when I allow myself to feel really upset, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, they are here.
Yeah.
They're totally here.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you have to be open to it, like you said, though. The opening to that belief, I think, makes a huge difference. So
I listened to Wayne Dyer. I mean, once I opened that door, and I think Napoleon Hill was the first one that I read. And that's a business, you know, but he opens and kind of like gives you a little bit of the taste of it, and then you kind of look a little more and then dig a little more. And that was the first book I read, and that's where the idea for the book came from. It's like, you know, successful people take that thought as it comes to them, whether it's intuition or whatever you want to call it, and they kind of go with it. So that's why I went with it. But Wayne Dyer, I listened to all of them. I love, you know, I love their teachings. So Abraham Hicks, everything. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
So that's part of the research that you did for your new book, though, was going through this healing journey with reading these books and listening to audios, I imagine, as well, probably.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot of it.
Yeah, and so that is how you began to realize that love can live forever. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, I think like you, I wasn't really raised religious, and I think, you know, even in my family, you know, my grandmother and stuff, you know, you wouldn't talk about death. It's just very taboo. You know, you know, in the Jewish religion, you have the funeral right away. You don't even have the wake. It just, everyone, you know, you get buried, that's it, you move on. And that's kind of like how I grew up, and it didn't work for me. You know, I was suffering. So I was searching on my own spiritual search for something, you know, to appease the sadness. And that's what I found. You know, I read, you know, Deepak Chopra, Dyer, you know, Abraham Hicks, and everyone, and that really helped me. And I feel like, you know, everyone can do it. It doesn't hurt if you're doing it for, you know, comfort. If religion is your thing, if spirituality is your thing, if you're coming from a place of love and healing and wanting to help other people, I don't think anything could be wrong with that. It's when, like you said, like, you know, mine is right, yours is wrong, you know, all that, I don't believe in all that. I think it's just a matter of, you know, everything's coming from a place of love and we're all connected. And, you know, when you die, like that, you know, your body is just your body. And this is, and there's a soul, there's an energy. Like I recently even lost my cat, and, you know, he was very, very sick, and the vet, you know, had to put him down. He wasn't eating. He was very sick. And I was there, you know, you wouldn't think I lost, you know, my mom, my mother-in-law, but you still get affected. It still affects you. And I was there when he took his last breath, and it's like, and even then it was just like he was gone, but then it was like a whole, like a minute later, like his body, like the, you know, what's it called? The air, like he expanded and then just let release. And the doctor was like, yeah, that's just all the energy, like leaving the body. Cause I got freaked out. I'm like, you told me then he breathed and she's like, no, that's the, you know, so if you think about it, like energy too, it's like, well, where's that going? You know, that just,
right.
that was there, but now it's not there. But where did that go if energy's never created or destroyed, right? If you want to talk about it
right.
from a thermodynamics or whatever, the science, because some people just, like, don't believe in that. But if you talk about it from science, then it makes sense, right? It doesn't just disappear. It goes back, you know, it goes back to wherever it came from, right? So all those things, like, it just made me realize that this is not it. And, you know, it's a hard concept to explain and difficult to explain to a child. But, you know, the more I read about it, the more that I followed people who were, you know, are spiritual or religious leaders. And they were just saying, like, the way that you react to it is the way that your children are going to pick up on it. So if you go around saying, like, oh, my God, I'm, like, afraid of dying and death, you know, we're all going to die, horrible thing, and just fear, fear, fear. And, you know, you're living in that constant state of fear. You know, it's not that anyone wants to die, but we all are at some point. And to live in fear and worrying about what's going to happen next, you know, that's not living at all. And I thought it was so beautiful that it's how you react to, you know, to it. And you're saying, you know, like I tell my daughter, your grandmothers are still with you, and she finds feathers everywhere and she picks them up. She's like, this is for Angel Grandma. And it doesn't make me uncomfortable. And I hope it doesn't make other people uncomfortable too. But, you know, we were in a store and she was, you know, talking to just this clerk about, you know, she held a teddy bear and she's like, this is from my grandma Angel when we went to go down and see her in Florida. And, you know, she's having this whole conversation and she's not talking from a place of sadness or fear or, you know, worry. She's just saying a very beautiful thing that I have a grandma Angel. And, you know, I know some people might not be comfortable with that, but for a child to not be, you know, in a state of depression or sadness or, you know, that's normal too, but she's very comfortable with it. And I think, you know, to not come from a place of fear, I think that's, I'm trying my best. I think that's, you know, the better approach than to go about it in another way, which I was, you know, I was very depressed and she saw me crying all the time and,
right.
you know, and understandably so. But, you know, I moved through it and I feel like I got to the other side of it and like, I still miss my mom, but I know, you know, she's here.
Oh, I know what you mean. It's like, I still wish I could call my mom up and I wish I could go
yeah.
spend time with her in person, but you know, as a physical being, that is, you know, but
right.
One of the things I love to do that I started doing before she passed away, luckily, so it was a habit already, is I write morning pages, 3 morning pages, like Julia Cameron talks about in the morning, and I write those, and then after that, I set a timer for 15 minutes, and I write a question at the top of a page, and then I meditate for 15 minutes, and then write the answers to the question. And so
mm-hmm.
I had been asking questions like, what do I need to know, or what are you trying to tell me, to whoever, you know, to the universe, whatever.
Right.
And then after my mom made her transition, though, I started writing right away, Mom, what are you trying to tell me? And
mm-hmm.
I did that for quite a while. I still write to her almost every day. She's at least one of the
wow.
angels that I mentioned. Mom, Joy, Wayne, Laurel, Louise,
mm-hmm.
Anne, all of these angels, what are you trying to tell me, you know? And then meditate and write down the answers. And the thing is that they want to connect with us. They really do.
Right.
I can feel it. That's the thing. I can feel it. It feels true. And not only that, even if it wasn't true, if it makes you happier, they want
right.
us to be happy. They don't want us to be sad. And
right.
Yeah, I totally believe that even if they weren't real positive when they were here, and my mom was positive, though, but even if they aren't, that they're into pure positive energy, and so if you're not feeling
right.
that way, you can't feel them. And that made me feel no guilt when I started feeling okay quickly afterwards and was able to help with her life celebration and be the Toastmaster for it, since I'm in Toastmasters. You know, I mean, the whole thing. But, God, I'm starting to get all teary. We've only got 7 minutes left, you know, and I just have so many more things I'd like to have you talk about before then.
Yeah.
So I'll let you choose. What do you want to talk about next and tell people? Because since we do only have about 7 minutes left, I don't want to take you off in a direction you don't want to go.
I think, you know, just being open to, you know, not only receiving, but just the possibility of things. You know, I think, like I said, the whole thought about writing children's books didn't even happen until, you know, until I experienced all this. And I kind of just like, you know, not to go into things without, you know, thinking anything about it, but just to follow like that path, like, you know, trust your intuition. And I really think this is my, you know, mom guiding me.
Mm-hmm.
I've met some incredible people who are, you know, far more intuitive than, I mean, I don't think I am, but, you know, that have come into my life. I mean, just people like one of my good friends, I talk to her every day now. She has the same birthday as when my mom passed on 4/4. And, you know, and I just see like my mom was 67. She passed one day shy of her 68th birthday. So I just see like 67 pop all the time. All the time now, like I was like number 67 on the top 100 on one of the books, and it's like I see that over and over again. I think people can easily just say like, all right, well, that's a coincidence, dismiss it. But for me, I feel like there's this, you know, these synchronicities that now show up all the time, just things that, you know, between my mom and I that we would know about, and it just like pops up. And it's like, if there was any way that you would think that they're trying to communicate with you, or if you believe in that, then I think that's the way, you know, just noticing the signs, noticing kind of like going
mm-hmm.
along with the journey. And, you know,
yeah.
I'm 39. I'm not going to hide my age, whatever. You can easily find it out. But to start this whole new venture now, it's like, I was just like, I don't know the first thing about children's books or any of this. And I didn't even want to be in the spotlight. They told me originally, like, make a Facebook page. I'm like, I don't even want to invite people to, like, my Facebook page. And since then, like, I was just like, okay. I remember I was, like, holding my son, and he was sick at the time. And I'm, like, trying to, like, deselect certain people. Like, okay, they're not going to want to like it. And then it got to the point where just, like, who cares? Like, they like it or they don't like it. And it was that moment of, like, growth, like, just where I just, you know, I'm coming into myself. Like, I'm more secure in myself. I'm more, you know, I was a very insecure person. And so it's not just, like, the goal of wanting to be a children's book author now, wanting the book to take off and wanting people to find it and all of that, but it's the person that you become in the process. And I'm just a different person, like, spiritually, you know, like, I'm a better mom. I hope so. I'm trying. They're quiet right now. I have two kids at home. They knock on wood, you know, we made it almost to the end. No one's screaming. But, you know, just all around, I've become a better person. And so it's just, you know, taking that leap of faith and, you know, and if there's something you want to do, just do it now. Don't wait. You know, when I retire, like, I think that's the hugest lesson I've learned from my mom. She was going to do all these things and go on vacation and do all these things when she retired. And she had to retire early because she had Alzheimer's, you know, she was forced out. So she didn't get to live that life, you know? So I think if there's one thing she can impart on me, it's like, don't wait, live
do
now.
Do it now.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Do it.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. You know, we only have 3.5 minutes left. And I wanted to say that the illustrations are so beautiful in your book. And I don't know how those were created, but are they based on photographs? They're gorgeous.
Yeah. So we basically took, I mean, some of them are actually of my children that, you know, mm-hmm. it's like layered images, digital images. So we took the photograph and we laid it on different images and then painted over it. I wanted to, if you know, like, I love Nancy Tillman. She's like one of my favorite children's book authors. And she kind of does the same, not the same exact thing, but similar, like digital layered mm-hmm. imaging. But I wanted the pictures to be a little bit more real, like to look like an oil painting.
They
so
do. They're
like
gorgeous.
Kind of,
and they're all in color,
yeah.
too. I just want to interrupt and say, people, if you have children, grandchildren, or friends that have children, get this book. It's just the most beautiful book. And then the whole idea of having the angels, your grandma be an angel, I think that's beautiful, too.
Thank you.
So what do you want to leave our listeners with?
Just, you know, just be open to just being inspired by letting people in and just the possibilities of, you know, life can be, you know, this came from, I guess, a hard time in my life, but mm-hmm. it's transmuted into this beautiful thing where now I'm honoring my mom. So, you know, life is not going to be perfect. It's, you know, it is. There's challenges, and that's what life is, you know, but there's beauty in everything, and you can find it everywhere. Just have to change, like, what did Wayne Dyer say? Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change, and that's just so true. I mean, I couldn't say it better myself.
And also, he says, too, you'll see it when you believe it. Not you'll believe it when you see it. You'll see it when you believe it.
Yeah.
And we believe it, so we're seeing it. We're feeling it. Yeah. That's so true. And he also said, don't die with your music still in you. And that's why the show is called Live Your Music.
I love Dyer. I love him.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're living your music the way that you are, Heather. I'm so thankful. And
I
love your book. I love the angel that you sent. And
thank you.
I highly recommend both. Oh, I'm getting
thank
all choked
so
up. In a good way.
And
I'm
coming out with Angel Grandpa, too, very soon. So I'm launching a Kickstarter, so I'm going to relaunch Angel Grandma. It's going to be, like, places for them to put a dedication on a feather to a loved one. And it's going to be a little journal in the back, and it's going to be, like, revamped and even more beautiful. And Angel Grandpa is going to be coming at the same time, so they can check out my website. The Kickstarter will be on there probably, you know, this week sometime. Yeah.
And that's heatherlean.com. Yeah.
Heatherlean.com.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you for being
Thanks
on my
so
show. Thank you for writing your book. And thank you for listening to your intuition.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, everyone out there, please live your music. Listen to your intuition, be open, and do it now. Bye for now, everyone. Bye, Heather.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.